The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, we're about to discuss the mathematics of climate change in just a moment, but first, have a listen to this.
Can I get a donut and a coffee, please?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Can I get two donuts, please? Two donuts.
What? No, I said a donut and a coffee.
Well, they're the same thing.
They're two completely different things.
Well, topologically, they're the same.
What?
To what? Yeah, topology. Oh, it's fascinating. It's a branch of mathematics, right? And it deals with how objects stay the same when they're mushed around, you know, through stretching, twisting, crumpling, bending, but without closing holes, opening holes, tearing, gluing, or passing through itself. Here, I'll demonstrate. I'll show you why a cup of coffee is the same as a donut.
I want to see that. It's a snippet from a slightly strange thing. It's part of a mini-series of videos which are being released to promote Maths Week 2021. And with me in studio is the very man you just heard there, a comedian and host of the Function Room podcast, Colm O'Regan. Colm, good morning and welcome.
Thanks very much. Had I known that this was going to be played, that video was going to be played in audio, I would have done two slightly different voices for playing both characters. But you get the picture.
Now, explain to me, if you can, how a cup of coffee is the same as a donut.
Well, you know, Pat, I'm a complete spoofer, but basically it's in the area of topology. So, you know, they're obviously two different things because they have two different uses, and we can see them that they're different. But from a topological point of view, which is an area of maths that deals with how shapes, you know, mush and are deformed, they're the same, because this is a coffee cup with a handle. So a coffee cup with a closed handle has one hole in it.
Yeah.
And a donut has one hole in it. And if you mushed a donut in a particular way, you could turn it in without cutting it or tearing it. You could turn it into not a very functional, but something that looks like a coffee cup, and vice versa. And that's the kind of thing that seems ridiculous. We'd never do it in school. But if you're looking at robotics, then how things can be stretched and twisted is of use to you. And if you're looking at how DNA folds within a cell, or if you're looking at how molecules are arranged in such a way that you might want to attach, how a virus attaches to it or how a vaccine attaches, that's the kind of stuff you're looking at it. So, again, that's about the limit of
of your topological knowledge.
Ask another question, Pat, because I'm...
Okay, I'll ask you. The next one is about one of your little things, is Joey Essex and the shape of the universe. Not two expressions I would have expected in the one sentence.
I know, but I didn't expect either. Joey Essex of The Only Way is Essex, coiner of Well-Gel and Ream as words. But also, he's a celebrity. He's a TV star. He was on Celebrity Tipping Point, one of my favourite quizzes, the one that resembles the coin counter things in the fun fairs. And he was asked the question, what snack, the shape of it resembles a hyperbolic paraboloid? Now, if you see hyperbolic paraboloid and Joey Essex in the same screenshot, I get intrigued by this. And a hyperbolic paraboloid is a shape that if you look at it one way, it's a parabola. If you look at it another way, it's a hyperbola. And it's really useful for lightweight structures that are strong, like roofs. So, you know, all the new roofs, all the new temporary cafe roofs. If you look at the curves of those, some of those are hyperbolic paraboloids. They're very strong, but they're very light. And a Pringle is a hyperbolic paraboloid.
Pringle is a hyperbolic paraboloid, which, and they're all the same.
They're
I presume
all the same,
you
they
can
stack.
Make you could make these things in different lengths and so on.
Yeah.
But in Pringle's case, they're all the same.
They're all the same. They're a circular one, and down the bottom, you don't get. Now, other circular tubey snacks are available, you know. But in general, those types of snacks down the bottom, you would think they'd all get crushed, but they're not. They're quite strong, and so down the bottom of the tube, you don't have a lot of mushed crisps. They're actually pretty good all the way down.
However, it's quite easy to break a Pringle.
Yes, yeah. So I experimented with trying to do cross sections with my teeth. It doesn't quite work that way. But the point is, you're looking at Tipping Point and on telly, and then it leads you off into this investigation of funny looking roofs.
Many children in school are encouraged to grow a sunflower.
Yes.
Now, what's special about a sunflower?
Well, now, if you look at a sunflower, most sunflowers, if you look at the little seeds in them, they spiral out from the centre, so they carve out. and they curve in two directions depending on what way you look, right? So you count, if you go around the edge of a sunflower and count the spirals, and you count them, and then you count in the other direction, there's a strong chance that those two numbers of spirals will be Fibonacci numbers. Now, a Fibonacci number is a really interesting thing. It's 1, 1, 2, 3. So each number is the sum of the previous two numbers. And that's interesting because nature likes that kind of thing. It's about reproduction. It's about maximizing. Like, nature does nothing for the crack. Like, nature will always try and pick, you know, what is the fastest, cheapest way to get food, sunlight, or a bit of sex, or whatever is going on. And so,
because I've often thought, you know, when you get seed pods,
yeah,
that there's thousands of seeds,
yeah,
and they're just playing the odds.
Yeah,
that if you only had one seed, well, the likelihood of that seed actually landing in the right place and growing into a flower or whatever is pretty slim.
Yeah,
but when you've got 1,000 seeds in a seed pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe one or two of them will grow.
And if you're a flower at your strategic planning meeting, which I'm sure they have, they're wondering, how do we get as many of these as possible in the smallest space with the bit of sunlight we have? We spiral them out, we push them out in a spiral out from the centre. And that's where you look at these patterns. Now, I have a sunflower at home, and the title of the third video to be released is My Sunflower is Broken, because I couldn't find the spirals. But most sunflowers do. And that's the thing. Nature tries to do the right thing mathematically, doesn't always get it right.
Now, tell me about the mathematics of climate change, because that is that tonight?
That's tonight. And the reason, one of the reasons I'm doing this episode, so I'm recording an episode of the Function Room podcast, and it's on tonight, so you can get tickets at mathsweek.ie, look it up at the events page. But we hear so much about climate change going on, and there's so many rows. In some ways, we're humans watching gods shouting at each other. But I thought I knew.
You almost said something else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd get away with it after 9 o'clock. You think that you kind of go, oh, I must have been looking at the maths of that, or why people think it's happening. And then I realise, oh, actually, no, I didn't. It's like that moment where everybody realised they were putting the wrong stuff in the green bin because we never looked it up in detail. So this is my attempt to find out what are the sums. You know, the sun shines on Earth. If at our distance from the Earth, with the sun that's there, we should be a frozen planet. But we're not. The heat has been kept in. There's a blanket around us. Yeah. And that blanket has kept us going for billions of years. But what happens when you put on an electric blanket underneath the blanket? I'm stretching for analogies here. Yeah. So what's so
this is
some,
what global warming
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and climate change. And there's lots of complicated models, but I'd never before looked at, you know, sun's heat coming in, what's going back out, what's the difference, what's keeping us warm, what's keeping us cold. So this is, you know, this, we're not going to be talking about the gloom of climate change, because we've had plenty of that. It's more sometimes when there's a huge problem to try and gain some sort of handle on it, to know that little bit. It helps me. I don't know if it helps other people, but even just having that kind of sense of the numbers helps.
When you look at it in this global way, you're looking at the sun out there and all the energy coming in, and then you get this greenhouse effect because the energy can't escape that has been hitting us. And then, as you say, we're using our own, we won't say electric blanket because that might disparage electric cars.
I know, that's the thing, you have to be so careful. We're burning blankets. Yeah, we're burning keep ourselves warm.
Yeah, and then you're seeing this in this global sense, the planetary sense, and then you're told it'd be grand if you could rewild your lawn.
Yeah.
Or it'd be grand if you recycled a bit more or didn't use that plastic straw and instead sucked through a soggy paper one.
Exactly. And the thing is, and all of those things are steps, but it's very easy to slip into despair and pointlessness and not know where your place is in. And sometimes you just need a giant target out there to even make the steps. Mm. But even having that sense that it's not a philosophy, there are some numbers involved, it helps. It certainly helps me, if you know what I mean. And I'm hoping it'll help other people gain a handle on it.
Because, you know, we're told here that we may have to cull the national herd. We may have to shut down Money Point and stop burning any kind of fossil fuels there. And then you hear, we're closing these down, but the Chinese are actually building coal-fired stations still. And Bolsonaro is clearing the rainforest so cattle can graze while we tell our cattle, sorry,
I know.
Can't graze no more.
Well, I mean, there's a big philosophical question there about if somebody isn't doing the right thing, is it still the right thing for you to do the right thing? So my general thing is whatever the right thing is to do in your own context, do it and then hope somebody else will do the same. But it's, I mean, it's like the same as littering. If you see more litter, you're more likely to litter. You know, it's
that's true. Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know, if somebody does a cleanup, nobody wants to be the first to dump that Coke can.
Yeah. So what form will the podcast take tonight?
So the podcast will be a chat with a very eminent professor, Chris Budd, who is an expert on the maths of climate change and has demonstrated the kind of, you know, the how to gain a handle on this, these very cloudy giant problems in a way that, you know, will give us a primer. And I think sometimes you think you know something until you do the simple sums and you realise actually you didn't.
All right. So it's part of your regular series, The Function Room.
Yeah.
Where do people find it? Wherever
Function
they get their
podcast, wherever you get your podcast. And I think shortly to be joining the Go Loud network. So that'll be officially soon. But it's all over the internet. And then for tonight, if you want tickets, matsweek.ie/events and look for Colm O'Regan on that page. And look, it's the last night of lack of freedom. Next night you can go out and meet people. But tonight, one last, for old time's sake, an old Zoom seminar to celebrate Auld Lang Syne tonight, the Auld Lang Syne of webinars tonight.
All right. Colm O'Regan, who is host of The Function Room, thank you very much for joining us. And it's all about celebrating and marking Maths Week 2021. That's all we've time for today. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, which is powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.